wrong, waiting to criticize me. And I was kind of very afraid of that. And I was very afraid, really, of that whole idea of God. And she actually pointed me, we read John's Gospel together. It's a lovely place to start if you've got questions about faith. And she just got me to think about this relationship that God wanted to have with us as his children. And so I remember very clearly one night in my flat in London, kneeling on the floor and asking God to change my life around and to actually help me to have that personal relationship with him. And it was an extraordinary experience. And I know that many people's experience of becoming Christian is very different. Some people don't have a moment they look back on and say, that's when I became a Christian. For some people, it's more kind of gentle process. But for some people, it is that moment they look back. And I just remember, there's a verse in the Bible where God says, he will take out our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh instead. Now, I quite liked having a heart of stone. It meant I didn't have to feel. I didn't have to feel pain. I didn't have to feel emotion. I could block myself off from lots of things that I didn't want to feel. And that was quite convenient. But it also blocks us off to all the very rich emotions of life, to the richness of relationships, to the richness of a relationship with God and knowing his love and his care and his blessing for us. But suddenly, and it was as though this great hard lump of ice, I suppose, in my heart kind of melted, and it was an extraordinary experience. And I, at the end of that evening, it was as though God had restored something in me that had made me fully human in a way that I just hadn't known before. And it was that being in touch with God, knowing his love, sensing that he loved me, he cared for me, he had a purpose for my life. And it was a very life-changing experience. So I don't know, some of you will know that you have that relationship with God, that you know that sense of being known and knowing God. For others, it might be that you still know about God, but you don't actually know God. And that's such a difference. So don't stay at that point of just knowing God, knowing about God. Make sure that it is changed into that relationship with him. So having got to know God in that way, I realized that actually I would like to know more about him. And suddenly I wanted to discover more about who he was and how I could serve him with my life. So that's when I went to a Bible school up in the Lake District. It's called Cape and Ray. Does anybody know Cape and Ray Bible School? Yes, lovely. It's a Bible school and a holiday center. I know they have ladies' weekends there as well. I'm trying to get them to call it women's weekends, but there we go. We'll work on that. They have weekends, so some of you might be going later on this year to the weekend there. So I went to Bible school, met my husband, and met Lynn as well, and Eric. So that was a lovely time. It's up in the Lake District. It's a beautiful place up there. We haven't got married. We actually moved around the country a bit. My husband was involved in church leadership. So we were involved in leadership down in Southampton, above Bar Church, and in various other places. And then we went back up to Cape and Ray. And by that stage, I had four young boys. So life was, a DOS. It was very hard work. I was a mum of young children. I was involved with our local village church. I was involved at the Bible school. Involved supporting my husband there in his role, but also supporting the students who were there at school. It was a beautiful place to live. We lived out in the countryside in this little rural hamlet, so my children would run free in the fields and the woods, and they'd spend their weekends with their friends there. And it was a wonderful place to be in. It was a kind of idyllic time of life. And I guess that had been my kind of expectation of what being a Christian would be like, that we'd live in this somehow beautiful place. Everything would be good. I'd have these lovely little children growing up around me. And it was a very happy time. I mean, there were difficult times about it, but it was mostly a very happy time. Lynn, can I put that first slide on? Lynn's going to be my technical expert this morning. Yes. So I don't know how many of you, when you think about your spiritual life and what it's like to be a Christian, these verses come from Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 talks about us being like those of us who love God and serve God, that we'll be like trees planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And this beautiful tree, I think there's nothing more beautiful than seeing a tree growing in its proper environment with room to grow and spread like that. So that was the kind of tree I wanted to be. That was the kind of Christian I wanted to be. And I had kind of expectation that that's what would happen, you know, that I would have some kind of ministry, I'd be serving God, and that everything would work out in the way that I expected and I was planning, that I would be flourishing and strong and all would go well in the kind of the way that I had defined life. Well, in the middle of that wonderful kind of idyllic country life, we decided that actually we would uproot and move to live in Salford. That was when we decided to move. So from this lovely, tranquil village life where we were involved, I was governor at our local primary school, involved in the church, very kind of village community life that we were living with my husband involved at the Bible school on staff there, we moved to inner city Salford, which was quite a change of life. Somebody was just saying to me today, is there a difference between here and the north? And yes, just 2 hours on a train from Manchester to here, it's a complete transformation. If you've not been to Manchester for a while, come and visit us. It's a great city, very multicultural, lots going on. But it's tough. We have a lot of very inner city, poor areas, multicultural areas, which bring a real richness to the city. I really love that multicultural aspect of life there. But we moved into the city. We wanted to get involved in a local church there. We wanted to be involved in sharing our faith. And it's difficult to share your faith with your neighbours when they're all sheep in the Lake District. So we thought, well, we'll move to the city. And also we felt that we knew it wasn't realistic to believe that our children would always want to live in the country. As they became teenagers, we felt that they would want to be exposed to more than just our village life. And we kind of thought maybe it'd be safer to do that as a family than just wait for them to go off and experience city life when they left home and moved off to university. So we thought, okay, we'll move together as a family and face this city life together. It makes it sound some kind of awful. But anyway, we wanted to do that with them and help them to adjust. We also wanted them to be aware of what life was like for many people. And we felt that we had a very privileged life and we wanted them to see that that's not how everybody lived. So we set off to Salford, packed up, left our little village. We lived in an old farmhouse, so we packed up and went down to Salford. And it was extraordinary. I remember the first night we arrived, we lived behind one of the major hospitals, Salford Royal Hospital in Manchester. And we didn't have any beds or anything. So we put mattresses all in the back bedroom and they just lay down the mattress. They thought it was a great adventure. Laid down on these mattresses. I kind of put the light off and said goodnight to them. And as I turned the light off, it was as though an explosion happened at the bottom of our back garden, which is where the hospital was. Blue lights started flashing, sirens started going, police cars arrived, fire engines arrived. And I was just standing thinking, oh my goodness, is this going to be what like every night in Salford is going to be like? You know, this horrible, it was awful. It was like something from a film. I don't know what had happened. I think the fire alarms had probably gone off by a mistake. It wasn't even anything awful. But I thought, you know, this is Salford. We're here and it's police cars. And, you know, it was like being in the middle of some LA cop movie. And that was going to be us. And the next morning, we were unpacking boxes. I was used to saying to our boys, oh, just go off to the fields, enjoy yourself. So I said to them, oh, look, there's a park. It's kind of two roads up there. So just go off to the park and take Daniel, who at that time was kind of four, I think. Take Daniel and off you go to the park. Have a nice day. And, you know, we'll see you later. And they went off. And I think mobile phones must just have been invented or something, because I did give them a mobile phone. So 20 minutes later, I had a phone call. Mum, there's some boys, and they're all sitting on this stone wall, and they've got guns. Oh, that's an adventure. Right, okay, we'll just walk very quickly past us. So there were boys, they had air guns. I don't think they intended any harm to the boys. But anyway, when they got to the park, I had another phone call about half an hour later saying, well, we're in the park, and there's a pond, and there's a group of boys, and they're standing all around Daniel, my four-year-old, and they're saying they're going to throw him in the pond. I said, oh, all right, okay, Daddy will be up in a minute. Oh, my goodness. You know, this was from our lovely life in the lakes to this life in Salford. And I thought, oh, Lord, what have you brought us to? You know, what have I brought our children to? What have we done? We felt that we were following you. This is where you wanted us to be. And suddenly we're faced with all these challenges and this very difficult life. And we began to recognize the reality of making that move and the impact it was going to have on us as a family. And it wasn't an easy move to make. But sometimes God moves us out of places that are comfortable and easy and asks us actually to go somewhere that's quite different for us. Those were really difficult days at the beginning. And I still really miss the country. I think I survive there because we can get in a car and be back in the lakes within an hour. But God put us there for a purpose, and we've seen that over the years. We've had various things that have developed since we've been there that we've been able to take part in. Obviously, my husband was involved in a church there. That's why we moved there. I was able to get involved in the school that I work in, at King David High School, which is a wonderful place to be. It's such a privilege to be part of the Jewish community there. I teach English, and I have a very good relationship with the rabbis there, who are always, of course, kind of keeping an eye on me and making sure I'm not stepping out beyond my remit, which I don't. And we've also now been able to develop some kind of interfaith activities with other schools in Manchester as well. So we now welcome Muslim people into the school and have activities with Christian schools as well. So it's been a wonderful opportunity, very rich for me, intellectually very satisfying, things that I never thought I would have the opportunity to do when I was living up in the lakes. Those things would never have been open to me. And then, of course, my involvement at the BBC as well, which came as a real privilege. And of course, that happened because we were living down in Manchester. So I would just say to you, you know, ask God, where is your front line? Where does he want you to be serving him? And don't sit back and assume that, you know, the work, I think especially in churches sometimes, you know, we think that the people up front on Sundays, they're the people who do the work and we kind of come along and support them. But it's not that, you know, God has to send us out to the people who know nothing about him, very little about Christianity. Very sadly, the church does not have a good reputation in many places in society today. I don't mean this church, I mean the church in general. You know from media things that many people are very cynical and skeptical about the church today, and they have every right to be in many ways. So how are people going to see what having faith and being a Christian really looks like unless they meet with you? And they'll meet with you in the places that maybe are uncomfortable for you to go to. But we need to be there. We need to be in those places, and we need to let God use us in those places. So it would have been so easy to stay in our lovely farmhouse up in the lakes, shutting out the world, but we didn't. And it's been painful, but it's been a very rich experience and a very rich journey for us. So be ready for the unexpected. And do you know what, Lynn, I can't remember what time I'm meant to be finishing, so you need to shut me up when I'm... Now. Now? 5 or 10 minutes. Oh, right, okay. That's fine. Okay, so I'm just going to briefly sum up what it's... No, that's fine. I'm going to just talk to you about one or two of the other things that kind of have happened to us through our time there. Because, you know, I just want to get away from this idea that, you know, we have expectations of what our life as Christians are like. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, people seem to think that becoming a Christian and serving God, you know, causes us always, it's going to look like success. You know, I really find it difficult when Christian churches begin talking about what a successful church looks like. You know, how many people come to your church? What's going on here? What's going on there? That's not God's economy. God's economy is about faithfulness, about deep roots. It's about suffering. It's about facing the difficult things in life, and it's about walking through the difficult things in life in other people's lives with them. And I think sometimes, you know, we want to turn away from those things. We don't want to engage with them. You know, it's so much easier sometimes, isn't it, to turn our back on, you know, for me in Salford, the homeless people, the people sitting drugged out of their minds on our streets, the poverty, the children who are coming to school without having anything to eat, very few clothes. You know, there's enormous poverty in Salford. I would quite like to spend my life pretending that doesn't exist, but I can't. And God asks us to face those challenges, to be aware of what's going on around us, to engage with it. We all face difficulties. You know, as a mother of 4 lovely sons, I've had to face the fact that at the moment, not one of them are choosing to follow their faith and to go on as a Christian. I think in many ways they kind of saw a bit too much of church politics with a father that was involved in church leadership. You know, church can become very political places, can't they? And my children, I think, became aware of some of the tensions that can arise in church life, and they didn't like that. They felt that that was a form of hypocrisy. What are you doing in church fighting over those things when this is going on with my friends over here? My friends are facing real problems, and what have you got to offer them if the church is fighting about this? And I respect in many ways their viewpoint. I think, you know, as a church we have to look long and hard at ourselves and say, what kind of image are we showing the rest of the world? So it's been really hard for me to see my children actually turn their back on church. I would like to say that deep in their hearts they all resonate with a faith in God, that they have some belief in God. And you know, when I'm really struggling, when I really find these times difficult, saying, Lord, why? I don't know if you do this, I kind of heap guilt on myself. If only we hadn't left the Lake District, if only we hadn't done this, if only I'd done this. And God reminds me, they're his children. The story's not over yet. And one day I believe that wherever their lives have taken them, when they do reestablish themselves in their relationships with God, they will be in the most wonderful places to talk to those people and to have those contacts and to bring those people to the Lord and to be really the kind of lights in the places where they are, real lights shining there. So I'm excited to see what the future brings for them, but that's been tough to see that happening. And it's easy as well sometimes, I think, for ourselves to think, you know, my kids aren't following the Lord, does that disqualify me from doing anything in terms of Christian service? Am I not worthy? Have I done something wrong? And it's so easy to write ourselves out of God's purposes, God's plans, God's picture, and we mustn't do that. You know, these are times that we go through. Before we went down to live in Salford, I was actually at a prayer meeting with some people, and one woman, she's a lovely woman, a very godly nun who I'd got to know through this particular area of women in mission. And she came to me at the end of the prayer meeting. She said, we were just about to move to Salford, and I thought she said, oh, I really believe the Lord's got a word for you. And I thought, oh, lovely, a word of encouragement as we go to live somewhere else. And she said, it's really hard, but I think God is telling me that you're going to go through a time of real wilderness. Oh, great. And she said, I wouldn't tell you except that God has obviously told me for a reason and you need to know. And in many ways, you know, it has been living through these wilderness times. We'd been in the Lake District, we'd been down in Salford for, about 12 years. And one of our sons became very, very ill with depression. And you'll know, of course, that for many young people, mental health problems are a real problem. It's something that seems to be rife among young people. And our son, our eldest son, was extremely ill. He was at university by that time. He had to come out of his course. He just couldn't cope. He was overwhelmed, and part of him being overwhelmed was with the problems he saw around him in the world. He felt he had no answers to give. He didn't want to turn to faith as an answer to his illness, and obviously we certainly weren't going to impose that on him. We had to walk with him through that time. Our worst moment was when Andy and I were away on holiday and we had a phone call saying, you've got to come back now. Your son's in risk of hurting himself. And we had to come rushing back. I just remember jumping in the car, saying goodbye to the people we were with, and driving up the motorway just praying, Lord, look after him. And for some people, you know, they don't come through that, do they? And we very sadly had somebody in our school last week, a year 11 student, who took her own life. And this is something that we're facing in the world today, and it's a cause of great sadness and darkness. But, you know, we have to walk with people through those times. My son came through his illness amazingly. He had wonderful medical care at this hospital. That's at the end of our garden. He ended up going there, but into the wards there that I never thought I would take one of my children into. It was a very dark place, and I remember sitting there with him that first night and thinking, what are we doing here? You know, we're Christian parents, you know, we're meant to be flourishing, we're meant to be these trees planted. And we were in possibly, you know, the darkest place I'd ever been. But God spoke to me. I always find that when I'm in those difficult places, I go to the Psalms. And I think the Psalms is where we find our real experience of life, you know, the longings, the yearnings, the lamenting. Lord, why is this going on? And I just praying to God and pouring out my heart to him. And God really encouraged me and reminded me that he would be there in those times. He would comfort us. and bless us, and he would bring Ben out of that dreadful time. And he did, and I'm so grateful, because I know that's not the end of the story for so many people. But Ben, and I have to say, Ben got married in December, and it was a cause of enormous celebration to us. He got married to one of the stars of Coronation Street. So if you're a Corrie fan, he got married to Shona. That's not her real name. Anyway, we had this most wonderful family celebration. Great rejoicing, wonderful time. And, you know, I'm so thankful to God that he brought us through that time and delivered us from it. It's given us a real understanding of people who do have mental health problems and a desire to work with people who are facing those things. So life, you know, has not been easy. We were just kind of recovering from that time and kind of getting back on our feet spiritually and emotionally from that. And another of our sons told us that he was gay, and wanted to talk to us about that and about the fact that he was in a partnership with somebody. He had been for several months. He hadn't felt able to tell us before that. And that came as a real shock. For many of you, that might not seem like a big deal, but from my church context, from the kind of teaching I'd had, from that, the kind of teaching of the cultural context of church, for me, that was a real shock, and it was something that I wasn't expecting from any of my children. That was 5 years ago, and I would say I'm very, very different now in terms of my thinking, my understanding about that. But at the time, it really threw me again. I wasn't sure why this had happened. I felt dreadful for him, that he'd walked through this path alone, that I'd not been knowing and understanding and walked with him through it. But I was also frightened for him. I didn't know whether this was something that other people had encouraged him into, or whether it really was who he was. So I had a lot of questions about that. And again, Lord, where are you in this? And again, the Lord met me as I read the Psalms and reminded me of his love. And interesting that the Psalm that I read at that point was a Psalm that reminded me that some things are just too big for us to understand. We cannot understand everything about God. We cannot. You know, we are so keen to stay in control of our lives, aren't we? And to know, to map out the way, to have the answers. And if there's one thing, you know, I'd laugh when Lynn said, Becky will give you the answers. I thought, oh no, that's one thing I won't be doing. We don't have answers. We have the Lord, and we have our story, and we have the gospel. And we can share that with people. We can share ourselves with people. But we don't have answers. And I think too often we want to have black and white answers to offer people. We live in a chaotic world, and we have to be prepared to embrace that chaos and that mess and live in it and live alongside people whose lives are often chaotic and messy. But we can, and we can't ignore it. We need to be there. And Lynn, can you just put that other slide up? Instead of this kind of tree, this is what I feel I've actually turned out to be, a tree clinging on to barren rocks against the storms of life. Now, this picture, I really will finish in a minute. This picture is very similar to a picture that I've got, a photograph I've got hanging up in our hall. When we moved down from the lakes, I brought a series of photographs to remind me of the beauty of the Lake District and hung them in the hall. So I walk past them each day. And one of them is a tree like this, and I love it. And I didn't realize at the time why I would love it so much, but this is the kind of tree I am. I'm hanging on for dear life to rocks. I feel like I'm in a very rocky, barren place, but we hang on. And trees adapt to the storms of life. You know, we would love to be green, flourishing trees, all of us, and have stories of success and this and that happening. But actually, you know, this tree is just as much a tree as that other tree. It will bear fruit. It's holding on there in its wilderness place. It's adapted to the storms of life, but it is holding on, and sometimes that's what we have to do. And I just want to finish by reminding you of a verse in Isaiah where God reminds us why he needs us in these places. God says in Isaiah, "The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs." And God says that he will do this, that people may see and know that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. God needs us sometimes to live in the wilderness for our own spiritual growth, but also because we will live in that wilderness alongside other people who are struggling and who life has not dealt an easy hand to. But we need to walk through those places with them. We need to be there, and we need to show them where the water is, that they can put their roots down into water. It's there in the wilderness, but we have to find a way down to it and hold on tight. So thank you. Those are some of my short stories. Maybe some of them resonate with you. Very happy to stay and talk to those of you who maybe that's touched a really raw nerve for some of you because you know those feelings yourself. All I have to say is that God is faithful and God is good and God keeps us through the wilderness. Thank you.